The Postcast, brought to you by Boyle Sports. Best odds guaranteed, available the day before racing on singles, multiples, online and in shop. Time to switch? Boyle Sports. This is betting.
Hello and welcome to the Racing Post Weekend Postcast in association with Boyle Sports. My name's Sam Hart, and on this weekend show, we'll be looking at the card from ITV, where we have a total of 8 races to preview. 5 races at air, the highlight there being the Scottish Grand National, and also a nice looking Saturday card at Newbury, where we'll look at 3 of the races there. We'll also get some of the guest opinions on the classic trials from Leopardstown that's happening on Saturday as well. And talking about guests, we have 2 fine Racing Post judges in Keith Melrose and David Jennings, as well as Ball Sports' very own Leon Blanche, who had a very well-earned weekend off last week. Leon, a busy week coming up for you at Ball Sports, the Grand National just around the corner. I did see on your social media that you went to go and see the mighty Tiger Owl. Unfortunately, we won't be seeing him next weekend, but we should be in for a good race next Saturday.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, look, I think everyone is looking forward to Aintree, to Grand National. It should be a very, very competitive race, as it always is. I think any second now, having only gone up £5, I mean, he was a very unlucky loser, wasn't he, 12 months ago? Who knows what would have happened? But I think looking at his win last time out at Ferry House, he'll be absolutely spot on for Aintree. But it's going to be a fabulous race. We've got, obviously, the Scottish National coming up this weekend. And then after Aintree, we've got the Boyle Sports Irish Grand National. So a lot of Grand Nationals to look forward to in the coming weeks.
Yeah, plenty going on. I'm sure the Postcards next weekend will be covering the Grand National in a lot of detail. Keith, I'll come to you quickly. Interesting one, actually, this week, with us going from the Lincoln last weekend, focusing on the turf, now going back to the National Hunt action once again. Look, it looks like a cracking card from Ayr and also Newbury this weekend.
Yeah, it's unusual to have the Scottish National before the Grand National. I'm not sure it actually changes that much. There were 2 horses, Fortescue and another, which I've forgotten, that have not been declared at Ayr in order to run at Aintree, whereas normally the horses that run in both are maybe falling early at Aintree or whatever. I don't think it's changed that much. The ground's still spring ground, and apart from those 2 horses missing, I don't think it's changed an awful lot in the Scottish National. It's a cracking looking race. Actually, a really deep race this year, which we'll obviously get onto in due course, even though the top weight, I think, is the lowest rated for 20 years. But it's a really, really competitive race. And as Leon says, we've got this week, the Scottish National, Grand National next week. Following Monday, it's the Irish Grand National, and the week after that we've got the Bet365 at Sandown. So if you're a fan of big staying handicap chases, which obviously I am, you're absolutely set for the next 3 or 4 weeks.
Yeah, there really is plenty going on. And DJ, I hear you're coming over for the big one next week. Hopefully this week you'll be having a nice little warm-up and be able to pick out the Scottish equivalent later in the preview.
Yeah, I hope it goes a bit better than last week, Sam. I was all in on Amethyst in the Lincoln, and I'm not sure, but I think I tipped him up at 16-1. He went off at 6-1. He was the big plunge of the race. Even Tom Siegel, my colleague in the Racing Post, fancied him as well. And all my mates backed him, and we were all in. Mad looking forward to the race, or whatever time was at, 3:35, and he goes and finishes 22nd of 22 runners. So that went particularly well.
Yeah, I wouldn't worry too much, DJ. I fancied Darkness for that race, and he finished out the back of the telly. So,
well, you beat me.
Let's kick things off then, shall we, with Saturday's televised ITV Racing at Ayr. We'll start off with the 1:15. This is the Scotty Brand Handicap Chase, a listed race. It's a Class 1. This is over the extended 2 miles. And Ball Sports have Sebastopol. He's been installed as the 2-1 favourite in here. Keith, look, he finally got his head in front at Kempton, beating Golden Boy Grey from the Gary Moore Yard last time. Look, the second Golden Boy Grey has actually come out and won in good style at Ascot, despite being stuck in a pocket. Tom Lacey's horse was put up £8 for that win that day. Do you reckon he's probably the worthy favourite in here?
You'd have to say so. I mean, he was always a horse. He was a hurdler, and as a handicap hurdler, just never quite got the wins his talent maybe warranted, and he's now getting that joy potentially over fences. The level he's been competing at, you know, these are Class 3s and whatnot. He ran in some of the good handicap hurdles, and maybe at that level he's getting his joy, and he's well worth going up to this grade. I think on balance, yes, he probably is the worthy favourite. You look down the field and, you know, it might be a listed handicap, but there'll be plenty stronger listed handicaps than this. I mean, I'm not going to give the game away. I'm not tipping him, but I couldn't argue with him being top of the market.
Okay, and Leon, looking at the market, I mean, Melistic's kind of fascinating here. Usually good second time out. I know that the horse unseated rider last time. Would you be with the top of the market, or do you kind of, you know, looking at outsiders in this?
Yeah, look, I think, like, in fairness, as Keith said, probably a worthy favourite. Going to be trading around bottle 2-1, I would imagine. I give a little bit of a squeak here to Dubai Days. He's got a bit of form around there. He's won twice there. He's also been placed. And just think, at the value at around about 5 or 6-1, you wouldn't want to be taking 2-1 about the jolly. Even though he is a worthy favourite, he's gone up £8. I don't know how much more there is to come. And I just think Dubai Days at around 6-1 would be my each way play in this particular race.
Yeah, and DJ, your opinion on the opener, eh?
Yeah, I like Melistic here. I love there's a couple of different strands that I like here. I thought the run the last day was just a simple case of getting him out. He hadn't ran for a long time. And he was very, very weak in the market. He drifted out to 10-1. And the plan was, I'd say, to maybe hold him up, which is not his style, but he kind of tanked his way to the front. And, you know, he was still in front when he unseated Callum Bewley. I think it was the 8th or 9th fence. But just the way he travelled through it, it was a real case of just getting the cobwebs to blow away. I would say Peter Niven has had this race in mind all year for Melistic. You know, he ran at this meeting last year and he bumped into All Mankind in that future champion novices chase over 2.5 miles. I do think he's an out-and-out 2-miler. I'd imagine Brian Hughes will send him straight to the frontier. He's back on board. And I think he's going to be really hard to catch. He'd be one of my strongest fancies of the day.
Yeah, and Brian Hughes obviously chasing down those 200 winners as well. I'll just go to Keith for your selection in the opener. Who do you fancy, Keith?
Yeah, well, obviously I mentioned that it's not a particularly deep race, and DJ there talks about Melistic and being aimed at the race, which, you know, he's the one I fear, actually, Melistic. But there's a horse in here that comes good in the spring, comes good in the summer, called Hatcher. It's Dan Skelton trained. Dan Skelton sent quite a lot of horses up here that you think, is he aimed at this today, at these valuable air races? And Hatcher's the one for me. You can look at his last, when he runs between sort of late October and the end of March, he's there to get his mark down for the summer, quite frankly. He's not there, he's not quite ready. The conditions don't suit him, and he's gone off at 16-1, 66-1, 18-1, and 66-1. That tells you of a horse that they know's not got their conditions on the day. He does this time. He's down to a mark of 145, and you can get a really attractive price about him at the moment. So in a race that's not got a lot of depth for the grade, I think Hatcher's my bet in this one.
Okay, yeah, Hatcher currently priced up at 14-1 with Ball Sports. So it's going to be Melistic for DJ, Dubai Days for Leon, and then Keith will be with Hatcher in the opener at Air. Now let's move on to the 150, the CPMS Novices Champion Handicap Chase. This is a Class 2 over 3 miles. Ball Sports have it priced up with Dusart as your 2-1 favourite. Sounds Russian, 7-2. Doyen Breed, 6-1. Sail Away, 6-1. The Golden Rebel, 13-2. Lord Accord, 7-1. And Double Figures bar these in here. Now, Leon, Dusart has such a high reputation, and he ran 5th in the Brown Advisory at the Cheltenham Festival. He's now into handicap company for the first time. Do you think he could defy top weight in this?
Well, I mean, he certainly won't be coming up against a calibre of horse like L'Empressé, who was so impressive in the Brown Advisory. I think the better ground here that's forecast should suit. He ran a blinder, didn't he, when he was third to Belfast Banter at Aintree last year in a grade one. Look, he's got to carry top weight. He's an official rating of 147. He's a very, very solid favourite. You'd have a little bit of a concern being turned out so quickly after Cheltenham. Sounds Russian has won his last three, but I think the ground might just be against that one. The last two victories were on heavy ground, and he's gone up an awful lot in the ratings, up to 145 now is his official rating. But I think Dusart, if Cheltenham hasn't affected him all that much, I think he's a very worthy favourite. And back, as you said, in handicap company, he does have a little bit of class, and he won't have anything like the calibre of the winner of the Brown Advisory to try and take care of. So I think Dusart could reward favourite backers in this particular contest.
Yeah, I mean, complete agreement here. DJ, Dusart for yourself?
He's different class to these, isn't he? It was interesting when the betting all week, and Liam would know more about this than me, but he was kind of a 7-2 shot all week. And I was going, he's obviously just priced up on the fact that he's unlikely to show up. And now that he's been declared, I actually thought he'd be much shorter than what he is. He's 2-1 with Boyle Sports, and I could see him actually going off about 6-4, to be honest with you, because yes, he had a hard race in the Brown Advisory at Cheltenham, but he's beaten 14.5 lengths, and he made an absolute terrible mistake at about the, you know, 3/4 way mark, maybe the 12th fence or so. And he registered an RPR of 151. And I would say that's about right, to be honest with you. He did everything wrong in his first two starts over fences going right-handed, and he still bolted up on both occasions. I just looked through this field, and you're going through them. Sounds Russian, the Golden Rebel, Dying Breed. Like, you're looking at them horses, and he's not actually giving that much weight to them. He's only giving £2 to Sounds Russian, who is a bit of a winning machine, all right. But, like, he's a winning machine against horses not near the calibre of Deuceheart. And he still had, for all that he's had a tough race in the Brown Advisory, he's only had 3 starts this season. He's still lightly raced. There's still loads more to come left-handed over this sort of a trip. And I could see him being much shorter than the current price at the moment. I think he's different class to these.
Yeah, and Keith, can you make it a full house? Do so.
You know what? It's only my nature that's meaning I'm not. I mean, there is a part of me, I'm looking, I've got a fancy that's getting £10 off Dusart, and I'm thinking, is this really £10 within £10 of Dusart in terms of class? And the answer to that might well be no, but I agree with DJ. I think he's going to go off really short Dusart. And the horse I'll just put up as a little bit of an alternative, if people aren't really wanting to get tucked into this favourite, is Lord Accord, who he won a race at Uttoxeter, beating Ask a Honeybee. It tends to work out pretty well, that race. Kiltili Briggs was back in that race and has improved quite a lot this year. And No Comment was in there as well. And since then, there's been some steady progress. And then he had a little break in the middle of the winter, ran at Doncaster in late February. I think it wasn't Grimthorpe Day. But anyway, he wasn't fit, to be perfectly honest. He was a little bit easy to back at the end. Travelled well to a point and just blew up. I thought at the time what the race they might have been aiming at was a 3-mile novice handicap on Midlands National Day, but this is an even more valuable race. And it makes even more sense for a horse with whom you want to avoid the deepest ground, which they tended to have done with this horse throughout his career. I suspect this Lord Accord might be the biggest danger to Dusart. And I'm not saying he's a more likely winner, but he's 8-1, Dusart's 2-1, and might even get shorter than that. So I'll be backing Lord Accord, because it's a horse I like, a horse that I think's potentially... I wouldn't be amazed if this horse turns up in the Scottish National next year off a higher mark. So I think he's got maybe a little bit of a better chance than 8-1 suggests, but I do definitely fear the favourite.
Okay, so DJ, it's Dusart for you.
Yeah, definitely Dusart for me. I think he'll go off much harder.
Yeah, Leon, also you're with Dusart. I think it's almost a full house, but I mean, Keith's given a big mention for Lord Accord at 7-1 in that race at 150. We'll go on to the 225 now. This is the 2-mile Coral Scottish Champion Hurdle. This is a Grade 2 limited handicap over 2 miles. A really interesting contest this. West Cork 11-4. One More for the Road is 7-2. Milkwood 4-1. Anna Barina 6-1. Barrichello 7-1. And Double Figures Bar. As I mentioned, it's an interesting contest here, Keith, because, you know, the top three in the betting, they're all sitting around 11-4, between 11-4 and 4-1. But a lot of support's come for the Irish horse, Anna Barina, in here. What did you make of this race looking at it?
Yes, I thought that I'm surprised West Cork wasn't clear favourite, basically, was my thoughts on this race. He's obviously got laid out for the County Hurdle after he won the Great Wood, and then he ran in the Christmas race at Ascot. But the target was the county, and he travelled through that race really, really well. Didn't get quite as clear a run through as the winner. He was never beating the winner. But you could argue that he was shaped as well as anything but State Man, who obviously is better than a handicapper. And in off a pound higher in this race, he's got a nice long straight to run up at air in a way he might not have had at Cheltenham. That's just what this horse needs, given the way he travels through races. I just, you know, without thinking it's he was a snip or anything like that, I'm just surprised to see this horse is at 9-4, 5-2 favourite. So in that being the case, he was the one I picked out.
Okay, it's an interesting one with regards to the Trainers' Championship as well. Obviously, we're coming towards the end of the season now, and we've got Skelton, Nichols and Henderson fighting things out, and even potentially Mullins getting involved. Do you think, DJ, they found a decent opportunity here with West Cork?
Yeah, it's a funny one because, you know, immediately after he won the Greatwood, Dan Skelton said he was going to keep him fresh for the county hurdle. And then he ran at Ascot. And I don't know, maybe he's best fresh. He certainly deserves to be favoured. I completely agree with Keith's sentiments on that. He does deserve to be favoured. The one that I like is Barrichello for Donald McCain and Brian Hughes. I just can't get away from this Warwick win back in January. I know there was only five runners and maybe Goodrisk et al, you know, should have won, but he still beat Goodrisk et al, who was running off a mark of 124, who's now rated 137, and I think most people think is at the very least a mid-140s horse. So he beat Goodrisk et al, giving Goodrisk et al £6, and we all know how impressive he was at Ascot. Washington was third that day. Washington bolted up next time as well. I think that's a really strong piece of form, and, you know, he won at 1-6 last time. It was, you could call it workmanlike, but he only won by a length and a half, but it was... He was never getting beaten. He absolutely bolted up. That was off mark of 134. He's been left alone by the handicapper. I know he's only a novice and he might lack the experience of some of these battle-hardened handicappers, but he's definitely well handicapped, I think. So I'm going to give him a chance, Barrichello.
Okay, and Leon, for you in the 225.
Yeah, look, I mean, I was going to say Barrichello could still be improving, definitely. And being left alone after the last win will certainly aid his chances. I think you've got to still look at Milkwood, and I mean, the guys haven't mentioned him yet, but like if you look at some of his form, third in the county hurdle last year to Belfast Banter, he was second in a Galway hurdle to Saldier, ran a brilliant race there, won this last year off 142, yes, now off 150, which obviously makes it a lot more difficult. But Sam Twiston Davis gets a great tune out of this horse. He's been trained obviously specifically for this race. He's had quite a break from his last run. I mean, he hasn't run since October, obviously. So this has been a target, but it's an open-looking race. And as a bookmaker, you'd have to be taking a lot of these on. You'd be laying three or four of them and hoping to get a result. If I had to go for one, I'd probably go with DJ. I think probably Barrichello is the one that could still be on an upward curve of 1-3-4.
There we go. Okay, so Leon and DJ both with Brian Hughes on Barrichello, and then Keith was siding with West Cork. I do like West Cork in here. I think he's got an excellent chance, and like Keith mentioned, he probably could go off shorter in this race. Let's go on to the 3 o'clock now. This is the Jordan Electrics Limited Future Champion Novices Chase, a Grade Two. This is over the extended 2.5 miles here. Five horses entered. We have Manila Drama at 9-4. Do Your Job 5-2. Il Redotto is 4-1. Kiltili Briggs is 5-1. And Jackamar is in there at 6-1. DJ, I've been banging my head looking at this race, trying to find out this kind of the answer to this puzzle. They're all fairly short prices in here. So who would you be with?
Oh, this is like solving a theorem. This is tough. But one thing I can guarantee, I'd go long odds on. I'd go about 1-16 to Keith Melrose and Fancy Do Your Job. That'd be getting the banker up. And I think he's probably going to be right. I don't fancy Manila Drama. He's had some really, really hard races this season, and I think he's reached the ceiling of his ability. I really do. Like even last time in that Pendle at Kempton, you know, he really did have a tough race. He wears his heart on his sleeve out in front, and you know he was legless crossing the line there. I know he's had whatever 35 days to get over it, but I don't fancy Manila Drama. Il Redotto, don't know what to make of him. I thought at one stage he was creeping into the Grand Annual, but then nothing got into it from behind and. Yeah, I don't know what to make of him either. And then you're down to the likes of Jackamar. He's right, 135. You know, he's done well this season to win the races he did. And I know he's beaten Mr. Coffey. Kiltili Briggs was obviously pulled up last time in the Ultima against Court Rambler. Back to 2.5 miles now. So I just keep coming back to Do Your Job. Now, Keith will obviously make a much better case than me because I know he's the founding member of the fan club. But I do think he still could be improving. When he beat Nicholson at Warwick back in November, I thought he was the type of horse that could have a really, really good season. It hasn't really come together for him, but I do think that even that run second to Edward Stone and the Wayward Lad at Kempton, I still think that's a pretty decent run. He was upsized with him over the second last. Solo was behind him in third that day. I think this trip, this track should really suit him. And yeah, he's the one that I keep coming back to do your job. But Keith will make a far better job than me of making the case.
Yeah, Keith, he's made you 16-1 on to put do your job up here.
And that's value.
Has he got the betting right?
I hate it when I'm that easy to read. I hate it.
Gamble landed.
Yeah, definitely. Right. Odds landed, lads. Now, the thing, what I was going to sort of lead on before DJ absolutely called me, got me bang to rights, was that I love this time of year. You've got all these big state handicaps and novices you want to be interested in as well, because, you know, these are they're unexposed, but they've had enough time to get the experience. At this part of the season, you do end up with horses that you're pretty loyal to, and that is where I am with Do Your Job. I've said on one of these postcasts before, I think this is the best horse Michael Scudamore's ever had. And I think he might well prove it. I wouldn't be surprised. I don't know. Who's Michael Scudamore's best horse? One big dude? You know, we're not needing a Cattle Star here. You know, we're needing a high 150s horse, really. And I think he might be that, potentially. I wouldn't be surprised if any of them won, to be perfectly honest with you. Although if you can predict Jacquemart and what day he'll fancy it, then you're a better man than I. But DJ's made a lot of good points said about horses, and as I say, I think there's a case to be made for all of them. But Do Your Job had been running in those good 2 mile novice chases. He'd been second to Edward Stone, he'd run against Third Time Lucky in the Lightning at Doncaster. He's always wanted a little bit further. He is a big strapping horse, and he got out of Newcastle last time. He was punching down. I thought he would win as he liked that day, and he only just seemed to scramble home against Informateur. He won with a bit more in hand than that suggests, I would offer. He didn't jump all that brilliantly. Newcastle's a stiffer jumping test than here, I think. And, you know, you just got the job done, but I think there was a bit up the sleeve. Even on that basis, because he doesn't carry the penalty Manila Drama has, or indeed Kiltini Briggs, he's actually bested on the figures on the basis of that run anyway, and I think there's more to come. So, absolutely, like, as I've said before, none of these would surprise me as a winner, but I'm heavily invested in Do Your Job, and I think he is, genuinely should be the favourite.
No surprise there, Keith putting up the Do Your Job in the 3 o'clock. And Leon, Il Ridotto, DJ mentioned with regards to the Grand Annual, it'll be interesting to see how Il Ridotto's come out of that Grand Annual. But back on better going, I'd probably say that Il Ridotto's got a bit of a chance in here.
Yeah, look, I think DJ's point about nothing coming from off the pace in the Grand Annual is well made. And I think, obviously, Paul Nicholls holds this horse quite highly, considering that he ran him in a grade one when he was pulled up, when Edward Stone actually won it. So, look, he's still a five-year-old. They obviously hold him quite highly in Digit, but he's got to try and come out now after having had that run in the Grand Annual. Again, you're always a little bit worried about horses that have only ran a couple of weeks ago and coming back out. In terms of Kiltili Briggs, if you fancied him, he likes small fields. He's got a couple of victories in four runner fields. He never really got going in the Ultima when he was pulled up. So, I mean, anything could win this. As Keith has already said, the official rating of Do Your Job is 144. He's only carrying 11 stones, so he doesn't have the penalty like Kiltili Briggs or Manila Drama. So that should give him a really good chance of winning this race. It's not a race I'll be backing. I'll just be watching.
Okay, Leon will be watching that one, but DJ and Keith both with Do Your Job. Now let's go on to the last race we'll be previewing at. This is the big one, the Coral Scottish Grand National Handicap Chase, a Grade 3 handicap over 4 miles. Ball Sports will be offering 6 places on this race, so plenty of opportunity to try and find one to creep in the places at big odds. The betting looks like this. Kitty's Light is 5-1. Win My Wings, 7-1. Stormy Judge for the Irish team, 8-1. The Ferry Master, 9-1. Cool Mix, 10-1. Fantastic Ass and Ashdown Lad, they're 12-1, along with Major Dundee, and 14-1 bar those. Now, Leon, this is the big one. Like I say, Ball Sports playing 6 places on this one this weekend. Now, Christian Williams has 2 excellent horses in here sitting at the top of the market. Is it as easy as just going with those, or is it a bit more of a puzzle than that?
Oh, it's a lot more of a puzzle than that, but you've got to give Christian Williams a huge shout out in terms of what he does with these staying handicap chases, and reading the Racing Post in terms of what he's trying to do with the training on the sand and build endurance and build stamina. You certainly need both in the Scottish National, to be fair. Kitty's Light well backed, as big as 12 to 1 now into something like a 4 to 1 chance. Certainly when you look at it, second, I was very impressed with the run in Sandown last year when it was second over 3 miles, five. And I think the second to Captain Ord last time at Kempton as well is a good run. You know, you hear what Christian says about this horse, holds it really, really highly up, got a couple of more nationals he's hoping to look forward to. Jack Tudor, he's been there. Obviously, I think he said from the first day he sat on Kitty's Light, they knew that this horse had a big, big future. The other one, obviously, Win My Wings, winner of the Eider last time out off 132, gone up to 140 now, but the £7 claim almost negates that completely. Stamina certainly will not be an issue. Fantasticas, the trainer has won it three times. I thought actually was running a decent race in the Ultima for long periods. You'd have to respect Nigel Twist and Davies. The Wolf is another intriguing one for the McNeil family. I think the better ground will definitely suit. Second over just under 4 miles at Musselburgh. Does have to improve a little bit on its jumping. But I think if you could negate some of those errors, Adrian Heskin for Ollie Murphy at around about 12 to 1, or you might even get a little bit bigger on the day. But it's a very, very competitive Scottish National. I think there's a lot of strength and depth. Kitty's Light, as I said, the value is gone. And I might just go for the Wolf each way. But it's a really competitive National, you have to say.
Yeah, you have to.
You covered your bases there, Leon, anyway. Hold on. There's 24 runners. There's two of them actually there that you didn't mention. Do you want to mention them as well?
Well, I mean, listen, I was asked about Christian Williams. I spoke about his too. Then I gave Fantastica a little mention, but I went for the Wolf DJ. The value's gone in Kitty's Light. If you're on there at 12s, I think you're on to a great price and a big, big shout, because they certainly hold that horse in very high regard.
Okay. The Wolf currently 14 to 1 for the race. DJ, with regards to this one, look, Pat Fahey's got Stormy judging here, sitting around 8 to 1, ridden by the master Danny Mullins. He looked through his form, and I think, you know, with the ground probably going the wrong way for this horse, but it'd be interesting to see whether they let this horse run on better going.
Yeah, I think he'll be okay. I spoke to Pat Fahey last week, and he was telling me a story about when he brought Newaff over to the race, I think in 1994. And he was favoured for the race, and they were mad looking forward to it, and he took him out because he said the ground was like a road, and he ran Mr. Fog Patches in it last year, and he was really worried about going over about the ground, and he said they water it so well, he said, and even the clerk of the course came out earlier in the week and said that, you know, it's going to be really well watered, and there is definitely going to be soft in the going description, so I think he'll be fine. And look, you've stole plenty of my lines there. I think Stormy Judge has got a massive chance. And if it wasn't for the ground being the way it is, I think he would definitely go off favourite. Obviously, the ground is a little bit of a worry. He has a little bit of form on slightly better ground, but obviously all of his form is on pretty bad ground. But if there is enough juice in it, I think he's got a massive chance, because you have to remember, in the Leinster National at Naas, he traded evens and running. So that'll tell you how well he was going. He absolutely tanked through the race. He led them to the second last, and then he got tired. Fahey said he needed the run. And then, if you go back to his win at Navan in March, he beat Enjoy Dallin, who's one of the leading contenders for the Grand National, and Schoolboy Hours, who obviously won the Paddy Power at Christmas at Leopardstown. So that's a really strong piece of form. Danny Mullins is obviously booked. He's rated 139. I think he's got way more improvement in him than that. And he's a full brother to Mr. Fogpatches, who was third in the race last year. I think he ticks so many boxes. The only box left to be ticked is the ground. And I'm just hoping he'll cope.
Yeah, let's hope so. Keith, get a quick selection from you in the Scottish National this weekend.
I'll be back in two in this one, because I came in thinking, well, after Major Dundee finished at Newbury and he finished second to Fuji Flight, I thought that's going to turn up in the Scottish National or the Bet365, that, and it's going to have a right chance. I was looking the day the Supreme, it came out on Supreme Day, the the entries for this, and I was waiting to see his name. It was there. I backed him at 25 almost straight away. I'm a big fan of this horse. He totally got away with 2 mile five at Fakenham on his first run of the season, beating Golden Rebel. That was his debut over fences. Was easy to back the next time at Bangor over 3 miles. Won that day as well in what was a relative speed test, looking like a real stayer. And then at Newbury, it was his first run since. He had 3-4 months off and plainly was in need of the run, but it was another career best. And he again looked like a horse that's going to relish a real test of stamina. He's into about 12s now. He's getting towards the sort of price he should be. But I would definitely put people onto that. But luckily, my second one could be very quick because it's DJ's one. It's Stormy Judge. I love that little story DJ told. Normally, when DJ tells his stories, I think, come on, get to the form, lads. Get to the form. Get to the actual case, not what somebody said. That tells you that Pat Fahey's got, he's got unfinished business, isn't he? That's what that story told you. Mr. Fog Patches, that horse in 1994, when you could get really fast ground, don't let it happen anymore. That, and the only thing I would add on top of DJ's point there as well is he didn't just beat Enjoy Dallin and the horse that won the Paddy Power. He absolutely battered them. He gave them a right kicking and he looked like a horse that was going to stay forever. So he's, I'm like DJ, if the ground was softer, this horse was going to go up 72. They'll just get tucked into it. The ground is the only reason against it, but I'm still backing him. He just looked really good that day.
Okay. Leon with the Wolf at 14-1. DJ and Keith both liking Stormy Judge, but also Keith fancying Major Dundee to run a really decent race. Now that's the card at air. We will preview the racing from Newbury in just a few seconds.
Members Club is the ultimate resource for racing enthusiasts and punters, brought to you by The Racing Post. Get access to The Racing Post digital newspaper every day from 9 p.m, plus exclusive content including expert tips, analysis, form study tools, and more. Head to racingpost.com and click subscribe to find out more.
Welcome back to The Racing Post Weekend Postcast with myself, Sam Hart, Keith Melrose, David Jennings, and Ball Sports' Leon Blanche. We're going to get into Newbury now for three races we're going to preview there. We kick things off with the 1:35 Play Pick 6 at BetVictor Novices Handicap Hurdle, a Class 2 over 2 mile, 3 furlongs. Punctuation is your 130 favourite. Royal Mooney 9-2, Surrey Quest 5-1, Rainy Day Woman 6-1, Fred Darm is 6-1, Motta Mott is 10-1, and 11-1, and bigger the rest. Now, it's an interesting open looking contest, this one, DJ, and hopefully you can find us the winner.
Yeah, hopefully is the important word there. I think this is really tricky. I thought that the one to beat was probably Royal Mooney Uni, or however you pronounce that. That was a shocking effort. If you go through his form, obviously he was third to First Street at Kempton in January, and then it was funny. Like, price wise, put him up for the Betfair Hurdle, and he didn't actually run that bad at all. I thought he ran really respectably. He was only beaten just over 7 lengths. And he was bang there on the inside turning in. That's a pretty strong piece of form, finishing mid-division in the Betfair Hurdle in the context of this race. And I still think he's reasonably well handicapped off a mark of 128. I'm not going to try and pronounce his name again, but he'll do for me.
Okay, Roy, I'm in for you. Keith, who are you with in the 135?
Yeah, it's a tough one, this. I thought Surrey Quest was really quite interesting. He went off 4-1 for the Leamington at Warwick and didn't enjoy something that day, and he didn't enjoy something when he was in the EBF final at Sandown last time either, and still managed to finish a decent seventh. Are we going to assume it's the ground? I don't know, because Sandown soft is very different to the Doncaster soft that he won on in December. Just has always had the look of a horse that is better than a mark of 130, which is what he runs off here. Now, the thing is, he could run exactly the race he should and finish third, because that's the sort of race this is. There's a lot of unexposed horses in here. But he was a horse that jumped out at me is well worth another chance with the ground not being quite as testing.
Yeah, and Leon, Henderson, Nichols, Skelton, they've all got horses in here, like I say, battling out for that trainers' championship. Are you with one of those or something else?
I was impressed with punctuation last time at Newbury. Obviously, gone up £8 for that particular win. But Ferrer Darmies, and I'm getting as bad as DJ with the pronunciations here. But I think Dan Skelton and Bridget Andrews could win this. Four runs, had a couple of wins and a second place. I just think it's a tricky enough contest again, but Frere Darmies for me to give Skelton a winner here at Newbury.
Okay, DJ of Royal Mooney, Keith with Surrey Quest, and Leon with Frere Darm, I think is the pronunciation in French. I gave that a good old go. Let's go on to the 2:10 now. This is the Download the BetVictor app, Conditional Jockeys, Veterans Handicap Chase, a Class 2, just shy of 3 miles. Now, the betting looks like this. La Casa Nostra, 9-2. First Figaro 5-1, Indy 5-6-1, Bermeo 6-1, No Comment 7s, along with Psychedelic Rock, Glenn Forcer 15-2, and Double Figures, the rest of them in here. Now, I do love these big veteran chases, Keith, and look, potentially there could be one in here at Double Figure Odds who could stand out, but the market seems to be swaying towards the top here and some of the shorter price horses.
Yeah, it's another interest, and it's the final of this conditional series as well. So you've got it's obviously good to get the seemingly less experienced riders onto these horses that know their way around. And the thing is, what's great for punters is we all know these horses too. We know them very, very well. There's actually a couple of quite relatively unexposed veterans in here, and I'm going to stick with La Casa Nostra as this main selection. He was a horse that he sat in my tracker doing nothing for 2.5 years because after he beat Lord of Manil at Sedgefield, he wasn't seen. But then he came back at Chepstow, pulled up on his first run, and then he won at Hereford. Despite, I don't think he liked turning all the time. At Hereford, you know, it's four sort of short runs and quick bends. I don't think he liked that particularly, and I don't think he liked going right-handed. But left-handed would be much better for him. This is more his sort of track. He's a front-runner, bold jumper, and I think he's still a lot better than a mark of 1-2-3. I will see how the market speaks for Bermeo. The Harry Fry trainer change from Tim Vaughan is a positive as far as I'm concerned, and he's really well handicapped on form from last spring. So if the money speaks in his favour, the market speaks in his favour, I'll have a little saver on Bermeo. But the Cavs in Ostra is still a horse that I think, even though he's had that injury, might not ever become the horse he looked at one point, I think he still can win races off 1-2-3.
Yeah, 9-2 the field here, Leon. You're getting a nice price if you can find the winner in this 10-runner field.
Yeah, you are. Indy 5 absolutely bolted in here last time by 9 lengths, gone up £8 for that. But he's a course specialist, won a couple of times at Newbury. I'm going to stick with it. I'm going to stick with Indy 5 in this veterans chase. I'm just so impressed with his victory last time out. So I'm going to stick with Indy 5.
Okay, and DJ, for you in the vets chase?
Asher, Indy 5 wrecks my head. Every time I fancy him, he just does an Indy 5. He's just a bit mad. But he was brilliant last day. Like, if Indy 5 just gets out of the bed now tomorrow morning and just says, I fancy myself today, like, he could take some pegging back. He's that type of horse. When he gets into a rhythm out in front and he starts to enjoy himself, and if he does get away from them, he is very hard to peg back. Look, I hate myself for this, but I'm going to put up No Comment. It probably would be better having a No Comment rather than actually tip a No Comment, because he's won once in 5 years. And I honestly thought back in the earlier stages of his career, I honestly thought he was going to develop into a Gold Cup horse. I thought he was the next big thing coming through. And I thought he had the world at his feet. I remember he won a Plumpton one day and he beat Manila Awards in what was a really good race for Plumpton. And I said, this horse is going to have a massive chance at Cheltenham. That year, I think he ended up running the Martin Pipe, and he went to Punchestown and he finished second again to Manila Awards in a really good handicap hurdle. But he's been so disappointing since. But I just go back to that Indy 5 run when he was second to him at Doncaster. He was sent off favourite that day off 1-2-5. It was a funny sort of a race. Indy 5 kind of just got first run on him and got away from him. But like, No Comment did absolutely hammer the rest. And there was only 4 finishers that day. And I just wonder if the bigger field here will actually suit No Comment. And Kevin Brogan, who's probably just about the best rider in this race, I wonder will he be able to get him a little bit of cover. And he did win at Huntington in November. I'm going to give him one. I can't believe I'm doing this, but I'm going to give him one last chance. No Comment.
Okay, so yeah, Keith with La Casa Nostra, Leon with Indy 5, and DJ with No Comment for Phillips Hobbs and the JP McManus team. Let's go on to the last race that we're going to quickly preview. This is the 2:45 British EBF Bet Victor National Hunt Novices Mares Hurdle, a limited handicap. This is a Grade 2 over the extended 2.5 miles. Speech Bubble is your 130 favourite. Corey's Courage 5-1. Sabrina, a lot of support coming for that horse, 13-2. Next Door to Alice, 8-1. Nina the Terrier, 9s. And Double Figures bar these. Leon, we see an unbeaten Ollie Murphy horse in Corey's Courage in here. 3 from 3 over hurdles. She might not have been winning the best races, but she's been doing it in some style. An opening mark of 130. Are you with the unbeaten one in here?
I think a big, big chance. We're paying 5 places in this, 5-1. I'd be absolutely amazed if Corey's Courage was out at the first 5, and I think she can go extremely close. She did win her bumper on good ground as well, so that won't be a problem. As you've just said, she's won her first three over hurdles. She's definitely on an upward curve. Official rating of 117. I think she can get better than that. Speech Bubble was very impressive, winning over course and distance on its penultimate start on good to soft ground. But I'm going to stick with Corey's Courage for Aidan Coleman and Ollie Murphy. Love to see a horse that keeps winning and winning and winning and is on an upward curve. And I think Corey's Courage hasn't stopped winning just yet.
Okay, DJ, 16 runners in here. It's not going to be easy, but who are you going to be with?
I'm with Sabrina. Now, she has been disappointing since she won that bumper at Ascot. She actually beat Belle de Menesh in it. But I thought last time at Wincanton, like she's not a particularly good jumper, but I'd say they thought an awful lot more of her than her mark at the time. She wore a tongue strap for the first time there, and she was well enough on top of the line. She always looked like she was doing enough, and it was a reasonably strong race, I thought. That was off mark of 100. She's gone up to 110 now. Like I'd say originally they had big high hopes for her after she won that bumper at Ascot. And now that she's actually got her head in front, she has, you know, ground to make up with a few of these. I think she was well beaten by Harry Artingo at Ludlow back in December. But I just liked what I saw last time at Wincanton. I think she is finally getting the hang of things and she's realising how to race properly. And if she does get into a good jump and rhythm, I think the long home straight in Newbury will suit her. So a tentative vote for Sabrina for me.
Okay, Sabrina for you, DJ. And Keith, the final selection from the races on the ITV card?
These aren't my sort of races. Normally 16 novice hurdlers. I spent 15 minutes on it and realised I was still in a room full of strangers. So it's a no-bet race for me.
Okay, no bet race for Keith, but DJ with Sabrina and Leon with Corey's Courage in the final there. That's the ITV racing all covered, but we'll have plenty more to come in just a few seconds. We'll briefly look at the card at Leopardstown as well as get the gentleman's naps of the weekend.
The Postcast brought to you by Boyle Sports. Best odds guaranteed, available the day before racing on singles, multiples, online and in shop. Time to switch? Boyle Sports. This is betting.
Welcome back. We're just going to quickly go through the card at Leopardstown this week, and we'll see some of the classic trials. We see the listed 2,000 Guineas trial, the Group 3 1,000 Guineas trial, as well as the Group 3 Ballysack Stakes, which is a really good roll of honour. The likes of Galileo, High Chaparral, one of the greatest stayers of all time, Yates, have all won it in recent years. And, you know, we had the Derby favourite Bolshoi Ballet come out this last year, Melbourne Cup winner rekindling recently, and even Derby winner Harzand. DJ, is there anything that catches the eye over there at Leopardstown?
There is, yeah. I of the three main races, the 2,000 Guineas trial, first of all, I think Dr. Zenf is going to be extremely hard to beat. On ratings, I think he's got £7 in hand and everything else, which I think Gluntain is the second highest rated off, 104. But with Dr. Zenf, like, he was a really good juvenile last season over six. I think he's a gorgeous horse. If you get a chance to look at him in the parade room beforehand, he is a model. And I think the step up to seven around the bend like Leopardstown is really going to suit him. So I think Dr. Zenf has everything in his favour in the 235, the 2,000 Guineas trial. In the 310, the 1,000 Guineas trial, this is an absolute cracker. Like, you've got Sacred Bridge in here, who was a winning machine last year. Contarelli Chappelle is very interesting for Aidan O'Brien and Ryan Moore. An absolutely seriously impressive winner of an ace maiden last year. And then was beaten a 2-7 next time, but she was in season that day. So Contarelli Chappelle is really interesting, as is Homeless Songs, who I think could have a really good campaign this year as a three-year-old. At the prices, I would just about side with Homeless Songs in that. And probably my strongest fancy, one of my strongest fancies on the Leopardstown card in the 345. You mentioned about Aidan O'Brien's record in the Ballysack Stakes. I think Bluegrass is a three-year-old that could go pretty far this season. I don't think we've seen the best of him yet. If you look back at the Zetland Stakes last season, it looked like he was going to be beaten about 12 or 14 lengths at one stage coming out of the dip. He actually really started to race inside the final furlong. He's only beaten 3.5 lengths by Goldspore in the end. The Curragh Maiden that he won has worked out really well. The second is rated 98 and the fifth actually won next time and is rated 86 at the moment. He's drawn in stall one, Bluegrass is. And now I know he's only rated 98, so he's got loads to find on ratings. Like, he can't win on ratings. I think he's £8 inferior to Duke de Sesa. But I think if he does get out and Ryan Moore gets him into a prominent position early, he's just a relentless galloper. And He's 50-1 for the Derby. If he did happen to win this, he'd be about 14. So I wouldn't put anybody off having a small few quid on Bluegrass for the Derby, because I think he can win this, Ballysacks.
Okay, a couple of mentions there from DJ in the Classic Trials, 2,000 Guinness Trials, Dr. Zemp, 1,000 Guinness Trials, Homeless Songs, and then the Ballysacks Bluegrass for the Aidan O'Brien team. Leon, anything for yourself out of Leopardstown?
I agree with DJ with Dr. Zemp. I think he's just too far clear on ratings in the 2,000 Guineas trial. Look, he's only beaten 2 3/4 lengths in the Middle Park, which is a Group 1, I think. He should be able to win that. I really like Contarelli Chappelle, as DJ has alluded to, won so impressively at Nace first time out. I think she could be very, very interesting as the season goes along. In the Derby trial, I hear what DJ is saying about Bluegrass. I don't know. It's going to be hard to make that up. Only rated 98 of 106. Duke de Sessa. And I just think Dermot Weld might just be able to win this Ballysacks with Duke de Sessa. But probably the bet on the card for me tomorrow at Leopardstown is Contarelli Chappelle. I was just so taken with her first time out. Excuses for her defeat when she was a very short odds-on favourite. I think Contarelli Chappelle should win the 1,000 Guineas trial.
Yeah, Leon also a big fan of Doc Semp in the 2,000 Guineas trial. But one of his better bets on the card would be Contarelli Chappelle in the 1,000 Guineas trial. And Duke de Sessa, a horse that's on my notebook for the Derby as well, for the Dermot World team. Right, gentlemen, let's get into your naps of the weekend.
This will not be beaten.
Keith, we'll start with you. Who's the best bet this weekend?
It was until I discovered Stormy Judge's chance in the Scottish National, it was going to be Major Dundee in that race. So I'm going to actually go a bit off-piste into the 3:55 at Newbury. Got some big names in here like Laylor and Al Dancer, but God, can you trust them these days? So it's actually a pretty weak race considering the names involved. And Dublin 4 is the one that stands out a little bit to me. Looked pretty good winning over course and distance in November, and was possibly looked like he was saved for the Greatwood Gold Cup here last month, but then didn't seem like he was quite fit. He'd been off 3 months. Maybe he wasn't quite there in Cherry Ripe on the day. He's in a much easier race now. And yeah, so I'd go with Dublin 4 in the 3:55 at Newbury.
Okay, DJ on that this weekend.
I'm going for a mad one. I'm going for the 5:15 at Ayr, the bumper there, which has been won by some really good horse. I could be wrong here, but I think Sprinter Sacra won it once upon a time. I like Largy Shark here for Stuart Crawford and Daryl Jacob. Now, you'll see his form suggests nothing. He finished 7th of 11th in an Avon bumper, but it was bottomless ground, and I advise people to watch it again because Ben Crawford rode him that day and he absolutely tanked through the race, and he looked like he was going to be a massive player kind of 2.5 furlongs out, and then the winner quickened, and the winner is a good horse. Like, the winner is Santanito, who's got some really strong form with some decent bumper horses in Ireland, and it looked for all the world like Largy Shark was going to finish out the back of the telly. And then they kind of flash past the line. You realise after being on the inside, he kind of came back out to the outside. And Ben sat up on him kind of close home. But he finished kind of on the tail of the second group that finished. He was only beaten just over 8 lengths. And I'd say he hated the ground that day because he looked like he didn't really enjoy it at all. I actually still think that's reasonably strong form. I think the winner and the second are pretty decent horses. And even the fourth of Anthony McCann's is not a bad horse. So I would say Largy Shark achieved a lot more than the bare result tells us. And I think he's a pretty decent horse. And I'll be disappointed if he doesn't win that, the 5:15 at Ayr, Largy Shark.
Okay, an interesting one in the bumper there. And Leon, your best bet for this weekend?
I'm going to stick with Contarelli Chappelle. I'm just so impressed with her first time out. She is well regarded in Ballydoyle. You probably could go with Dr. Zemp as well, because I think he's just too far clear on ratings. I think he'll win the 2,000, and I think Contarelli Chappelle will win the 1,000 Guineas trial at Leopardstown.
Okay, I'll just quickly run through those naps. Keith in the 3:55 with Dublin 4, that's at Newbury. DJ is in the last race, 5:15 at Ayr with Largy Shark. And then Leon will be with Contarelli Chappelle in the 1,000 Guineas trial at 3:10 at Leopardstown. on Saturday. That's it for this weekend's postcast. Thanks, as always, for joining us. And a big thanks to Keith, DJ and Leon. Maddie will be back on Monday reviewing the action from this weekend, where a guest will probably have a long-term view of the National. We'll only be a few days away then. If you are having a bet this weekend, best of luck. But as always, do remember to gamble responsibly.